2 years ago, Claude Carter was driving back to his community, 90 kilometres southeast of Fitzroy Crossing in the Kimberley, when he saw smoke on the horizon. By the time he got home to Baruga, it had been razed, leaving Claude and his family living in a tin shed. And it's an incredible place, which has taken on a range of artistic, horticultural, education and building projects by and for the community. Most recently, partnering with the Foundation for Indigenous Sustainable Health to design and build a structure, the first of its kind in Australia.
Claude is also a very accomplished artist and has travelled more than 3,000 kilometres to Perth for a special art exhibition, which is raising money to finish rebuilding the community. He joins us in the studio with Mark Anderson, who is the CEO of Fish. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Nadia and Russell.
Claude, what's life been like since that fire?
Well, since I had that fire, it was a bit of a loss for us, well, mainly me and my family and that. Yeah, we had things in there over 40 years of memories in our house. Yeah.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah, a bit of a, and even my missus and that, they all, we're still in shock a bit. But since we found Fish Mob, yeah, we starting to go forward a bit. Yeah.
What does Baruga mean to the Fitzroy Valley?
It's a place of one of my ancestors, and why the name Baruga? It's a Gunyindi word, and it's meaning two twins. Baruga.
And it's a bit of a cultural hub. It connects a lot of other remote communities together, does it?
Yeah, I got there's other communities down the road from me called Ngumbart, Wangajunga. There's Mimbi there, Manpia. There's Kubadea. Yeah, there's.
And Claude does a lot of cultural work with the community. So last week he actually had children up from Perth. He had young people from the community out at Fitzroy Valley who actually come out to his community and they learn cultural work and things like that. And also the community have been working in partnership with the Fitzroy Valley High School. And so Fitzroy Valley High School are a big picture school. And so some of the Aboriginal students who struggle with education are actually out on community learning how to build a super adobe house and getting re-engaged in. So, you know, at school they struggle to learn about maths and Pythagoras theorem and things like that. And yet here on the community they're actually learning that Pythagoras theorem actually relates to how to build a earth house for the community. And so they're going, oh, this is fantastic, and actually wanting to learn and be involved. And so it's a brilliant project.
And it feels like though this community is a hub for the area, though, that it's like the centrepiece, if you like.
Yeah, certainly. And certainly before the fire, Claude used to have a lot of the young people come out. And we've had kids involved in the justice program who've got to do community service hours who are now coming out and working on community. So it's a real hub. And Claude is one of the leaders in community who are driving that culture across the valley as well. So he plays a very important role.
Claude, before we get your thoughts on the Super Adobe, what was your house like? Describe what it was that you lost.
I had a donga, a 6-bedroom, and I had a bit of an extension on the veranda, and that's what I had on my house. And I had things inside there that I had TVs. It was a good little house I had,
And then, so what do you make of this new style of housing? What do you like the Super Adobe?
Oh, with the Super Adobe house, it's always alive. That I believe in. And not only that, I haven't designed this house how I live with the Super Adobe house. You know, and the things what I'm going to put in my house is I'm going to try to bring the country into my house.
So can you explain the Super Adobe House?
Maybe Mark.
Yeah, so the Super Adobe House, it's been designed by Jara Romero Escalar, who's the architect of Fisher's architect. And basically what it does is earth and the land is very important to the community, and so it actually integrates the earth and the land into the house. So you take the earth from the land, you compress it and put it into bags, and then those bags are stacked on top of each other. So some people call it an earth house, etc., and then it's rendered with lime. And so as Claude is saying, the house breathes. So the earth is part of the community. His ancestors are in the earth, and it's like for him being in Mother Earth. So it's an amazing. And there's a whole bunch of cultural elements that Claude and his family have designed and put into the house. So the round windows relate to the water holes. So if you've seen the painting works and the artworks of communities, where the toilets are, there's an outdoor kitchen, there's a fire pit to be able to cook the kangaroos in. So it's actually a house designed by the community for the community.
It's purpose-built.
Purpose-built.
Every step of the way.
Yeah, and often in remote communities you'll get the government will say, here's some funding, we'll build this house. A non-Indigenous company comes in, builds the house and then walks away, whereas this process is by the community, for the community, and they're actually being taught and skilled through the whole process.
And there's been experiences with that, though, where it hasn't worked because it's not the kind of house that relates to the way these communities live.
Absolutely, absolutely. And if something's not culturally designed, or there's no sense of ownership, or there's no connection to culture, it'd be the same as us being forced to live in a house that is not related to us. It's not something that we'd want to do. And in the past property that Claude had, you know, he made the most of it, but whereas this is...
Yeah.
Truly there.
We're talking about a place near Fitzroy Crossing. When you hear the word Donga, and that's how Claude describes his home, I mean, we know what Dongas are. Yep. Doesn't seem like the right fit from a cultural point of view and historical point of view, you know. This makes me feel good. How close to finished is your house, Claude? Have you got much more to do?
Yeah, I got some more things to do inside the house.
Yeah. But
while I'm here, I got an exhibition happening here, and if people can come down to my exhibition and try give us a bit of a hand up to support us, we need some more money to really finish the building off.
Claude's work is a part of an exhibition. It's at the old AMP building, which is at 140 St George's Terrace. It's in the lobby there at Perth City.
You can just walk.
Beautiful artwork.
Yeah, walk in and have a look. Claude's going to be there from 11:30 to 1:30 today, and we'll be there 11:30 to 1:30 tomorrow. We've got a special event that's happening tonight with a whole bunch of people coming down. And the community are very focused on saying, you know, government, from my perspective, are responsible to actually replace the home that got burnt caused by a fire because of inaction of no maintenance. Mm-hmm. And the community got tired of waiting. So Fisher's been working with the community to get on with the project. And really now they're in a position to say, you know, they don't want charity. They actually have produced this artwork and brought it down to Perth to be part of the Fish Art Exhibition so that they can say, look, give us a hand up, and come and enjoy our beautiful artwork while at the same time helping rebuild the community.
And how is it just the one house at the moment, just Claude's house?
Yeah, so we're rebuilding Claude's house. Yeah, we've done an outline development plan for the whole of the community. And this is a prototype.
Because I'm thinking this idea could spread.
Well, we've got people tracking what we're doing from across Australia. We've had a lot of other remote communities saying, can you come and work with us? So there's a record, a video record through the Fish Facebook and YouTube channel. So you can actually go on Foundation for Indigenous Sustainable Health's YouTube channel and actually see the design process right the way through to construction at this point. And we've had his grandkids as young as 6 years old have been involved in building it. Absolutely.
That's fantastic.
In the middle of the heat, Claude, when you get into your house, is it nice, the temperature nice inside?
Oh, yeah, it's completely different.
Yeah,
once you walk in, then, yeah, it's completely different than
ours. It's beautiful. I love that.
Coolest house on the community.
it's not
only culturally designed, but it's designed on sustainable principles. So you don't need to use air conditioning.
And I've got to say, some lovely texts coming in. Lynn says, love this house idea. I'm involved in youth and family Aboriginal homelessness. Can this house be built in the metro area?
Absolutely.
Why not?
Absolutely.
Why not?
Yeah.
And Anne says, I love this. It's a real solution. I will be there to buy a piece of art. Anne, please go to 140 St. George's Terrace, the lobby, and it's all there and all there for you to buy.
If you could build this house in Perth, it would be good. But the truth is, I think it looks better in Kimberley Red.
You know? It's very, very beautiful. Jump on and have a look. It's a great house and a great design by the community for the community.
Mark Anderson, the CEO of Fish, thanks for coming in. Claude Carter, we really appreciate you making the effort to join us today. We wish you the best of luck with your exhibition and with the construction of your home.
No worries. Thank you.
Thank you, mate.
Thanks, guys.